Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's pray. Father, again, I just pray to bless the preaching of your word now, Lord, and apply it to our hearts this morning. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who has never been born again, if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that knows that should they die, that they don't know where they're going to be, Lord, help them to understand that they can know for sure this morning. And Lord, I pray that before we all leave today, that every one of us will leave this building as a saved person. Lord, I pray also if there's somebody this morning that needs to get right with you as a Christian, Lord, I pray they'll take care of that this morning, Lord. And if there's something, Lord, that maybe we need to do or something we may need to stop doing, or maybe it's just people who just need your comfort this morning, Lord, you know what the need is. And so, Lord, we're asking that you supply the word of God to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, by the time we get to this first chapter of Joshua here, the children of Israel had just went through a great time of testing. Because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, Israel had been chastened by God. The children of Israel had the chance 40 years earlier to enter into the promised land, but because of their lack of faith in the Lord, God had them wandering in the wilderness up until this time. But now the children of Israel are again at the border of the promised land. They're getting ready to cross over the Jordan and enter into the land that God had promised them. And if the children of Israel chose to obey God, then they would be entering into a place of tremendous blessing and prosperity. God is going to give the children of Israel here what they never worked for. God's going to provide them things that they did not deserve. They're going to go from judgment to an unbelievable inheritance of the land of milk and honey. And because of the fact that they're getting ready to experience these tremendous blessings from the Lord, God decides to give them a warning first. Before he gives them these blessings, before he lets them go into the promised land, he gives them a warning. And the reason God gives them a warning is because when the children of Israel were under judgment, when they were being tested and tried, they never really faced what those blessings would bring. May I remind you this morning that the lives of Christians are not destroyed by the trials that they face. The lives of Christians today are destroyed by the blessings they receive. You see, when we face tough times as Christians, when we face trials in life, we have a tendency to cling to the Lord and stay in prayer and seek God. That's when times are bad. But when blessings come into our lives and everything starts to go good, that's when we begin to get casual towards God. Now, that's the way it is with everybody in this room, and that's the way it was even with the children of Israel. If you don't believe that, then read the entire book of Judges. Because even when we taught Judges in this church, one of the things that you read when you read the book of Judges is the faith of Israel is basically like this, all the way through it. When things would start to go bad, their faith increased. They started to pray to the Lord. They cry out unto God. God raise up a judge. And then everything, the judge would get victory, by the power of God, and then things start doing good for Israel, and then all of a sudden they started, their faith started to drop, and they started to not seek God as much, and they started to worship false gods. That's the same way it was with them. It's the same way it is with us. Listen, when things are going bad, that's when we pray the most. Amen? When things are going bad, that's when we seek the face of God. That's when we cry out unto Him. But when things start to go good, that's usually when people start to neglect God and godly things and quit reading their Bible and quit praying because everything is going so good. That's the way it is. And so it's really not, it's not the trials that is destroying the lives of Christians. Everybody goes through trials. Unsaved people go through trials. Christians go through trials. That's not what destroys the lives of Christians. That's not what destroys a Christian's walk with God. It's the blessings they receive because they can't handle those blessings the way they're supposed to handle them. If you even look at this country, you know what's really destroyed this country? The blessings we've received. Hey, listen, when 9/11 happened, church attendance rose 20% in this country. But after a while, when things start going good, what happened? Church attendance dropped in this country. That's the way it is. It's the blessings. By the way, this morning I went to the store to get donuts, and you know what I noticed? When I walked in, there were boxes and boxes and boxes of pumpkins. I've never seen so many pumpkins in all my life. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, are we blessed or what? When you see that many pumpkins sitting in front of one store, I'm thinking about how many gardens did they have to grow to get those that many pumpkins? Would you say we're blessed? Amen. By the way, there's some zucchinis right outside the door of the church. If you want a zucchini, take it home. Okay, that was donated. I'm just throwing that in there for a plug, brother. You know, that way you get yourself. All right. So it's a blessings that seem to be destroying God's people. God said, He tells the children of Israel, I brought you through trials, but now I'm going to give you great blessings. But before I give you those great blessings, I want to warn you, because if you're not careful, those blessings will become your undoing. And so God gives Joshua, their leader, the words of warning for the people of Israel. And the first warning that God gives Joshua to tell the people was this: read God's words. Read God's words. Look, if you would, at verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." How many of you understand that there is good, when it says good success here, does it make sense that that must mean there's a bad success out there? Yes. There's a difference between good success and bad success. A person could be successful out in the world, but he could be lost. But this is talking about good success. We're talking success given by God, good stuff. And so it says here that this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. You say, well, wait a second. Where in the world does it say that we have to read the Word of God here? Well, listen, how is it not going to depart from your mouth if you're not reading it? Amen? I mean, how could you possibly do what this verse is telling you to do if you're not reading the thing? Okay, so he's saying here that we need to make sure we read it. God here wanted his people to read the book of the law so that they would know what God's laws were. I mean, they were getting ready to go into the promised land where there were pagan nations worshiping pagan gods and doing pagan practices. And God knew that when they entered into that land that this people would be tempted to worship those same gods and the same gods that the Canaanites worshiped. He knew that when they entered into the land that they would pick up some of the bad habits that the Canaanites had. And so God is telling these people, you better keep on reading my word. You better continue to read my word and understand the warnings I've given you about those things that you're going to be tempted to do once you enter into the land of milk and honey. And may I say, one of the saddest things that I believe I've ever seen when it comes to Christians is when Christians are doing something that's a sin and they don't even know it. They don't even realize it because they aren't reading their Bible. And those Christians have no idea that what they're doing is sin according to the Word of God. I don't think there's ever been a time, folks, in history where Christians have known less about what their Bible says than today. Honestly. I mean, you hear people that profess to be Christian talk today, and some of the things they say, and you ask them things about the Bible, and some of the things they tell you about the Bible, you're like, where in the world did you get that? It's because they're listening to other people teaching them, but they're not reading the Bible themselves. You see, people, a lot of preachers say, well, the Bible says this. You better go to the Bible and make sure it says that. Because the preachers are teaching all kinds of things today. And listen, they've been teaching all kinds of things for a long time, but people just aren't reading the book anymore. People aren't reading their Bible like they used to read the Bible. And so you have things, listen, you have people that are believing things that aren't true. You have biblical illiteracy amongst Christians today, and really it's a plague upon the church. Listen to these statistics. These statistics will blow you away. Listen to this. Fewer than half of all Christians can identify more than half of the 12 disciples. Less than 50% can name half of the disciples. Don't raise your hand this morning if you cannot name half the disciples. But I will tell you this, if you can't name at least half of those disciples, you need to turn your TV off and start reading your book. Amen. Amen. 60% of Christians in America today cannot name 5 of the 10 commandments. 60%. 82% of Christians in America believe that God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. By the way, I hate to bust your bubble, but it isn't. You do not find that anywhere in the Bible. Okay. 81% believe that the Bible teaches the primary purpose in life is to take care of one's family or take care of the financial problems of others. 81% believe that. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Okay, that's from Barna Research Group. That's 12%. My goodness. 21% of high school age Christians thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Oh, listen to this. Only 19% of professing Christians in America read their Bible every day. 26% read it a few times a week. 14% read it once a week. 22% read it at least once a month. 18% read it rarely or never. When it comes to faithful churchgoers, almost 60% of churchgoers open their Bible at home during the week at least once. And for every professing believer who reads his or her Bible every day, which is 19%, there is a professing believer who isn't reading at all, 18%. And we wonder why people don't know what the Bible says. We wonder why people today, who are professing Christians, when you go out and you start telling somebody about Jesus Christ, or you go out and you start taking a stand against sin, you always have that one Christian that stands up and says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." But they don't know what the rest of that passage says. They don't understand that passage is talking about judging with righteous judgment. They believe that we aren't supposed to judge anything. That's not what your Bible says. In fact, the Bible tells us that he who is spiritual judgeth all things. That Bible says we are to discern between good and evil. Is that not judging? Absolutely. But because people don't read their Bible, they get one verse and they try to act like they've been reading their Bible, but they haven't. You're living in an age, folks, where people just don't read the book anymore. Now think about this. We know what you have going on in America today? You have people that are calling that which is good evil and that which is evil good. Now the book of Isaiah said, woe unto the person who does that. May I tell you, it's not just the lost people that are doing that. A lot of professing Christians today have bought in and said, well, now this right here, you know, that was a sin back in the Old Testament, but it ain't a sin anymore. I mean, after all, we're living in a different age and things ain't like they used to be. No, wait a second. If God said it was a sin, an abomination, that would mean it's a sin and abomination. But people today are calling that which is good evil, calling that which is evil good. You want me to tell you why? Because they're not reading the Bible. How are you going to know what's good and evil unless you're reading the truth? This world is telling people this is good, this is evil. You can't listen to the world, but that Bible's truth. It's God who tells us what's good and what's evil. That is our compass that shows us good and evil. Amen? But people aren't reading the Bible. People aren't reading it. They have no idea. Now, turn if you would over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How are we ever going to know what God expects from us? What God's promises are? How are we ever going to be warned about the snares of the devil if we don't read the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 13. It says, 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." Now, if you don't believe the Bible's true, all you got to do is watch the news and watch what's going on. Would you agree that people are getting worse and worse? You know, I remember back years ago when we lived here in Montana, we left for a while, then we came back. And I remember telling my boys before we came back, I was like, you know, Great Falls is not like where we've been living. Ain't much crime there. Let me tell you what, it's changed a lot. A lot of crime now. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Folks, it isn't getting any better, it's getting worse. Darwin lied to you, okay? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, but look what it says. It says, deceiving and being deceived. You know, you tell you why these men will be able to deceive more and more as time goes on? Because people are reading the Bible less and less. You know, just during the pandemic, when people stayed at home, one of the things they did was they got on YouTube and watched preachers preach. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite here. We're on YouTube, amen? But what they do is rather than following the Bible and seeing the things is actually what that preacher's saying, they just believe every word that comes out of his mouth. And so after the pandemic, you know what you had? A whole lot of people started believing things that weren't so. They were being deceived. Why? There's nobody reading the Bible. Listen, when Pastor Bob Crowder gets up here and tells you to open your Bibles to a certain place and look, open the Bible and look. Keep me honest. Keep me accountable. Make sure that I'm telling you what the Bible says and teaching what it says. I'm human. I can make mistakes. But there are some out there that are wolves in sheep's clothing. You got to keep them straight. And let me tell you something. When they start to tell you the Bible says something and it doesn't say it, you need to change your YouTube channel. Amen? Amen? That's enough of that. Okay. Look at verse 14. Now it says there in verse 13, it says, "But evil man and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, you say, well, Pastor, this is just your opinion that the reason they're going to be able to deceive people is because people aren't reading their Bible. No, that's not my opinion. Keep on reading. Look at verse 14. Now, after he says this, after he says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, look what Paul says in the next verse. He tells Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know what he's saying? He's saying, evil men shall wax worse and worse. Timothy, people are going to get worse and worse. They're going to deceive more people. But Timothy, you stay in those scriptures that you've known since a child. You just stay in there and you just keep on reading the Bible. And when you do that, they won't be able to deceive you that much. Amen? Amen. That's the reason it's so important for us to stay in the Bible. God doesn't want us to be deceived. And so God said to the children of Israel, you're getting ready to enter into the land of blessing. When those blessings come, you're going to be in there and you're going to be blessed and all these things are going to be going good for you. Make sure you keep on reading your Bible, though, because you're going to be amongst people that's going to tell you that things that are good are evil and things that are evil are good. And there will be people there that are going to say, oh, it's okay to worship this false god. But if you stay in the book and you keep on reading the book, then you'll read right there where God said, have no other gods before you and bow down to no graven image. You see the importance of reading the Word of God? God said, blessings are coming your way, but you better be careful. You better be careful. I'm giving you a warning. You better be careful to do what I tell you to do. And the first thing he says is this, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. But then you'll notice that God said not only were they to read the book of the law, they were also to meditate on God's Word. Look at verse 8 again. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now today, because of many cults that are out there, people have the wrong idea about the word meditate. Okay? If you ask somebody today about, you know, what is meditation? A lot of people say that's when you stand here and do this. Well, that's not meditation according to the Bible. Many people today think that meditating is, just thinking pleasant thoughts and emptying your mind. I personally don't have a problem with emptying my mind, okay? But the meditation the Bible speaks about means to think on God's word and fill your mind. You know what Philippians 4:8 says? It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He never tells you to empty your mind. By the way, listen, if you read over there in the Gospels and it talks about a man in a parable that his mind got empty and all of a sudden the demons came in and moved in, amen? Hey, listen, we're to think upon godly things. We're to read God's word and ponder it and think upon godly things. That's meditating upon the word of God. That's what true meditation is. It's thinking on the things that you read in your Bible. It's getting the word of God in your mind and constantly mulling over what it's saying to you. And may I say, if you want your life changed, then change your thoughts. Change your thinking. If you want your character changed, change what you think about. Because our actions are based on how we think. The Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How many of you would agree that when we give in to temptation and when we start to live in sin, that we're not thinking right? You know, every one of us knows it's true. There ain't never been a time that you ever got away from the Lord that you could say, I was thinking right when I got away from the Lord. You couldn't be thinking right. Who in the world would get away from the Lord if you're thinking right? Amen? Every time we've gotten backslidden as Christians, there was something wrong in our thinking. That's why we had to repent and have a change of mind before we would confess that sin and get right with God. You had to change your mind. So the best chance to avoid falling into sin is to make sure that we're thinking right. Amen? Yeah. And the best way to make sure we have the right character is to be thinking right. Because if we don't change the way we think, if we don't meditate upon the Word of God, we're going to fall to every temptation there is. We're going to fall to every one of them. You know, remember that verse that says, hide thy word in me that I might not sin against thee? You know why he says that? Because if you saturate your mind, you meditate upon the word of God and you read it and you read it and you read it, not only can you quote it, not only can you, will it come to mind when all of a sudden something goes on in your life, you can just bring it, think about it and bring it to mind. Not only that, but may I tell you that when you think upon these things and you meditate upon the word of God, listen, when temptation comes, there's going to be a part of you that says, hey, wait a second, this temptation, I know it's wrong. Because I remembered the Bible said this, the Bible said that. How many of you remember the verse that says, give no place to the devil? You know what? If you memorize that verse, you know how much trouble that'll keep you out of? If you just meditate on that verse and think about it, think about what it's saying, put it in your place. Listen, you know what that's going to do? That's going to keep you out of places you shouldn't go. Amen. Why? Because you meditated upon it. You memorized it. You planted it in your heart that you may not sin against God. That's what you did. You know, give no place to the devil. Thou shalt not steal. Now, what that'll do, that'll keep a whole lot more pens on the pastor's desk. Amen? Yeah. What I'm saying is this. We are to meditate upon it because if you don't meditate upon the word of God, when the temptation comes, God does not want you to sin. Now, you're going to mess up. You're going to sin from time to time. Amen? But if you'll meditate upon it, on the word of God, then you're going to remember a lot of things when you're tempted to do something because the Lord is going to remind you of that verse. And then you have a choice to disobey God or not. You know what he said to the children of Israel? He said, listen, I'm getting ready to bless you with blessings like you ain't never got in your entire life. And it's going to be a dangerous time because when you're getting these blessings, you're going to be tempted to get away from me. When you're around these people in the land of Canaan, you're going to be tempted to do what they're doing. And you need to not only read the word of God so you understand what the Bible says, but you need to think long and hard about what I told you too. How many of you understand that Bible that there's also warnings? If you don't do what God tells you you're going to do, this is what he's going to do. Amen. Nobody likes the chastening of the Lord. Amen. That's when he tells us those things. We are to think about it. We're to think about the consequences. We're to think about the blessings of it. We're to meditate upon the word of God. And so the Lord here is warning these people and telling them that they need to not only read the Word of God, but they also must meditate on the Word of God. And then the last thing that God warned them to do is not just read it, not just meditate upon it, but to be sure to do what the Word of God told them to do. Make sure that they do what the Word of God told them to do. Look at verse 8. He says, "This is the book of law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do to all that is written therein." You know what that word "all" means? In the Greek, it means all. Amen? All means all. Look back at verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." What God was saying here is that just reading the Word of God isn't enough to keep you from the temptations that they're going to be that are going to be coming from those blessings that they were going to receive. And meditating on the Word of God, that's certainly good. I mean, but it's not good enough. I mean, you have to do what the Word of God tells you to do. Now listen, folks. You can read that Bible all day long. You can meditate upon it and you can memorize every verse. But if you aren't going to do what it tells you to do, you're wasting your time even reading it. Why? God expects us to be obedient. He expects us to do what the Word of God tells us to do. "Be not ye hearers only, but be doers of the Word of God." Amen. See, you got to do what it tells you to do. And so he tells them here that they're to do the Word of God and they'll obey the Word of God and do what it tells you to do. But then he says, "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means that we are to do just what God said to do. No more, no less. Because, listen, to do less than what God tells us to do is sin. Amen? But here, you know what? Christians are strange people. We're all strange people. You know the problems that a lot of Christians have? Is every Christian in this room, if I said, "Now, if God said, don't do this," and you do it, you'd say, that's a sin. Well, amen. But then there are some Christians say, "Not only do I not do that, but I think we shouldn't do this, this, and this too." You know what that's called? That's called adding to the Word of God. That's what Christians do. A lot of Christians like to take their convictions and then add that in there. That's just as wicked as not doing what God told you to do. That's just as wicked as coming short of doing what God told you to do. When you say, "God said don't do this, but I think we should even not do this, this, and this, because that's, after all, that's how I do it." Listen, that's wicked, folks. Now, if you don't do it, that's fine. If you got other convictions, that's fine. But your convictions are not the Word of God. Your convictions are God's command to you personally. It's not in the book. Amen? That's the difference. But a lot of Christians, they seem to miss that part. Would you agree that God is perfect? Amen. Then you don't need to add anything to what He said. You just need to do what He said. Amen? Certainly you don't want to go less, and you don't want to do more. That's the reason it's telling you here, that talking about going to the left or right. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left. Now, I'll prove it to you that doing more than what God said is just as wicked as doing not what God said. Let me ask you a question. We're told to obey the gospel in order to be saved. Amen? That's what we're told to do. We're to obey the gospel. And if a person does not obey God's command to obey the gospel, then that person will die in their sins and be in hell forever. Amen? So to not obey the gospel is to come short of what God told you to do. Now we know that's a sin, and we know that'll land people in hell. So falling short of obeying God is wicked, and He'll bring the judgment of God upon a man. But now turn over to Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to show you that adding to what God says is equally as wicked. Adding to what God says is equally as wicked. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. It's not okay to add to the Word of God. It's not okay to add what He told you to do. You are to do exactly what He told you to do. You're not to go from the left, not to go to the left, not to go to the right. Just do exactly what He told you to do. Galatians chapter 1, look if you would at verse 6. Now in the book of Galatians, if you've ever read it, then you know that there are some people in there that started to teach that you had to keep the law. All right, now look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So there were people perverting the gospel of Christ in Galatia. There were people who were trying to change the gospel that God said must be obeyed. And so look what Paul said starting at verse 8 concerning these deceivers who were attempting to change the gospel that God had given to them into something else. Look at verse 8. Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's some scary words right there. Look at verse 9. Notice he says it again. And as we said before, so I say now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Always remember, whenever you see something written more than once, you better pay attention to it. God's saying, hey, you need to get this. You know what he said? If any man bring any other gospel than what Paul preached to them, let that man be accursed. You know what the gospel is that saves a person today? You find over 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It says, this is the gospel by which you're saved, that ye must believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Amen. You had to believe that to be saved. Amen? That's the gospel that Paul preached. And he says, if anybody bring any other gospel, by the way, he says, if any man or angel, you know, you understand that God can see through the ages and know that there's people today that said the angel Moroni brought them something that was different than God's word. He said, if any man or angel bring any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. That's saying this. If anybody preaches a different gospel than what Paul preached, that person is cursed. Oh, pastor, that's just horrible. I can't believe you'd say that on a Sunday morning. It ain't me. It's the Lord. Take it up with him. Amen? That's what he said. Now, let's just say that somebody decides that they're going to take what God said and just add a little bit to it. Now, we know if a person doesn't believe the gospel, that they're going to be in hell, right? How many of you know there are people today that say, well, I believe you've got to believe the gospel and be baptized? How many of you have heard somebody teach that? You know what they're doing? They're taking something that God said to do, and they're saying, well, now I'm going to add a step to it. Now, not only do I need to believe, but I also need to be baptized in water too. Wait a second. Is that the gospel that Paul preached? You never heard Paul preach a one time where a person, he said a person had to be baptized in water to be saved. Not one time. He said you got to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the gospel of which you're saved. Do you know what happens then if a person adds to that? He's cursed, according to that scripture. How many of you see that? You know what that means? That means that coming short of what God told you to do is wicked. Adding to what God told you to do is equally wicked. Both of them are cursed. Amen? The ones who aren't cursed is one who believes that gospel that Paul preached and preaches that gospel. That's the ones who aren't cursed. Don't go too far to the left. Don't go too far to the right. You stick with what God said. That's what he was telling the children of Israel. He's saying, listen, when you're going to go in there, you're going to see all these people doing all these things. Hey, listen, when I start to bless you and I give you this land, you're going to go in there amongst these Canaanites. Now, you need to get them out. You need to obey my word. Get them out. But when you go in there, you're going to see all sorts of things. And because things are going to be going so good with you, because you're going to be able to eat those grapes from Eskel. Those things are huge. And he said, because you're going to be getting blessed and so much, and there'll be so much food and so many good times and everything, there's a chance you're going to get away from me, especially when you see the things that these Canaanites are doing, worshiping their false gods, doing wicked things. You're going to be tempted to marry some of their daughters. You better read the book. You better know what I said. You better think about long and hard the warnings I'm giving you in that book. You better meditate upon it. Oh, and by the way, you better obey me too. Now, if you read the rest of the story, we know that the children of Israel entered into that land. And they got the blessings that God promised them for a little while. But then you know what happened? They didn't heed God's warning at all. they did not stay in the book of law day in and day and day in and day out, day and night. They didn't keep on reading the book. They didn't meditate upon the word of God, and they did not obey what the word of God said. You know what happened to them? The blessings that they got were taken away. The blessings they got were taken away. May I tell you that as Christians, you are blessed. You're blessed to be in this church this morning. Every one of you who owns a car, you're blessed more than most of the world today, because most of the world do not own cars. We have been. Would you agree we're greatly blessed?
Amen.
Be warned. Because, if we're not careful, those blessings will be our undoing. Oh, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know how many Christians I've talked to that the Lord has blessed their lives, made them prosperous, given them things, made times really good for them. You know what they did? The blessings became their undoing. Pretty soon they quit coming to church because now they got the money to buy all those toys and do all those things. They're no longer coming to church on Sunday morning. They're no longer reading their Bible like they used to because they just don't have time. They're out doing this, they're out doing that. You know how many times I go and talk to people and I say, you go to church? Oh yeah, I used to go to church. I said, well, why don't you go to church now? Well, you know, I work on Sunday morning. Okay, well, we have Sunday night service. Well, I work then too. Well, by Wednesday night? Well, I work then too. Hey, I'm all for working. I am. But you understand the job you have, God gave it to you. Oh, by the way, it is a blessing to be able to work. I'll say it again. It is a blessing to be able to work. Okay. God's blessed you. But if we're not careful, those blessings will be our undoing. I've seen it happen over and over and over. You say, how do I make sure that doesn't happen? Stay in the book. Stay in the book. That Bible says pray without ceasing. You know what that means? That means even in the good times and the bad times, you pray without ceasing. Bible says to stay in the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do it. Read the thing. Meditate upon the words. Hide the word of God in your heart that you may not sin against him. And be sure to do what the Bible tells you to do. That Bible says that we should be in church on Sunday morning. If you're able to come to church on Sunday morning, be in church on Sunday morning. That Bible says we're to read the word of God. God expects us to obey those words. It's not okay to stop doing what the word of God tells you to do just because things are going well in your life. Don't be like a lot of the other Christians who only do what they're supposed to do, who only read their Bible, who only meditate in the word of God and only obey the word of God when things are going bad. Do it all the times, because if you don't, those blessings will be your undoing and God will take those blessings away. He did it to them. He'll do it to us. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you this morning, are those blessings it and the best of you? Has God blessed you with something and you can look back and say, you know what, since the Lord blessed me with this, I'm just not really doing what God told me I should do. I'm not reading the Bible like I used to. I'm not meditating on the Word of God like I used to. And I'm not doing what the book tells me to do anymore either. May I tell you this morning, you can get things right with God before the chastening comes, before the blessings are removed. You can get right with God this morning. Take care of it. And listen, do you believe the gospel that Paul preached? If you don't believe the gospel that Paul preached, you are lost this morning. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and believing that he, Jesus Christ, died on that cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again the third day. Put your trust in him and him alone. Not baptism, not church membership, not any of that. The gospel by which Paul preached, that's the one by which you're saved. And either you've done it or you haven't. Are you saved this morning? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for the blessings, Lord, that we have in this country. The blessings that we have, Lord, with the church you've provided us. The blessings that you give us every day. Lord, we don't deserve any of them. But Lord, help us to heed the warnings, the same warnings you gave to the children of Israel before they entered into the land of milk and honey. Lord, help us to heed those same warnings. Lord, even though when things are going good, Lord, help us to be careful just to stay in your Bible, Lord, and continue to read and learn more and more about you. Help us to meditate upon your word day and night.